Hi, I'm Pat, and today our Notes for the Children podcast is on the topic of change. How to decide when we need to make a few changes, how to change a few of our habits, how to make the change last, and so on. Friends, I'm sure many of you listening today love music as much as I do. I'm sure you've listened to some songs over and over again to give you some kind of message or some kind of inspiration. If we listen close enough, sometimes that message or inspiration comes through and change will be easier for us. Friends, throughout our lives, we always have to make some small changes to make sure we have a happy, kind, joyful, inspiring, fulfilling life. And that life is for us and our family. I sure hope you can find the inspiration you need to make the few small changes we all need to make for a fulfilling life. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the podcast. Bob Dylan said, "He not busy being born is busy dying." Note: getting busy being born. That powerful line in a song has rung through my head for 40 plus years. You have to think about it very carefully and let it sink in. Remember, no one's life gets better by chance. It gets better by making small changes and sticking to the changes. These choices and changes make us who we are. We need not stress if the results are not perfect, as nothing ever is. As we all get older, we often want the same kind of happiness and excitement we experienced at a younger age. To achieve this, we really need to keep improving and making small, positive changes throughout our lives. Here are some simple examples that have helped me and may help you get busy being born instead of busy dying. Continually learning to be a better listener. Learning to find more empathy for others. Learning to stop feeling as bitter about a few things. Learning to find a little more discipline in life. Learning to count our blessings a little more often. And continually learning to be happier because of the above. Note, the 5 to 20 years from now, exercise. In the late summer of 1993, we were living in Winnipeg, and I was feeling angry, very beat up, lacking in confidence. We were in a poor place financially. I was somewhat depressed, and everything that went with that. Sorry again to Susan and the kids for how you were all affected by my negative mindset then. We had moved there 18 months earlier, and things were not at all going as planned. On advice I read or heard somewhere, I spontaneously decided to lock myself in a room for 40 minutes with the lights out to make the room as dark as possible. I closed my eyes, pictured all the things I didn't love in my life, and tried to imagine a scene in life 5 years from then, assuming I did nothing to change or fix the situation. I thought about how it would affect the kids, our marriage, my pride, and many other things. I put myself firmly in that situation, actually became part of that scene, and deeply felt how I would experience the same problems and pain. Then I felt deeply about what would 10 years look like? Then 20, if I did nothing to change the situation. Ouch, that process hurt more than I could have ever expected. When I seriously felt this pain, I let it sink in for a few minutes before I emotionally woke up and brought myself back to the present time. This was truly a life-changing moment for me because I stopped feeling sorry for myself, started making some changes and executing some well-thought-out plans, and shortly after, had a very fortunate break come our way. Soon, we were off to Edmonton to start a new life with new opportunities for us all. I am not sure the big break I received would have happened had I not done the exercise and committed to changing my attitude significantly. About 5 years later, I did the same exercise again when I was struggling emotionally. Once again, it woke me up and helped me make the changes necessary to have the life that I dreamed of having, rather than the inevitably miserable life I would have if I had stayed stuck where I was. I can't say for sure how this exercise would impact you, but doing this has shaken me to the core. I believe this exercise can be applied to any aspect of our lives that we know isn't healthy for us and we have ignored for too long. Perhaps use drinking as an example. If you drink a bottle and a half of wine each day at 35, sit in darkness and silence and ponder what drinking that much wine every day for another 5, 10, or 20 years would do to you. We know the truth is we would be serious alcoholics with many financial, emotional, and health issues, along with marriage and family issues. Perhaps we would be known as the drunk grandpa or grandma by our grandchildren. Try the same with anger over 5, 10, 20 years. Try it with being dissatisfied with your job. Try it with being in an awful relationship. Try it with being in a terrible financial situation that likely will be much more difficult to remedy at 50 or 60 years old. Please consider trying this approach with anything you might want to improve on. Doing this exercise, we discover that the present moment is truly wonderful, as we realize we still have time to change our future and appreciate the miracle that we can begin improving our lives right now. Note, forget your perfect offering. I think it is crucial to understand that at any time we are attempting to change our lives for the better, looking perfection can be our enemy. I believe we want to always be moving forward in the proper direction, knowing it's okay if we fall back some days. We simply let it go and get back to our positive thoughts and actions. An example of this could be controlling our jealousy. If this was on our mind most days, and we are proving to the point maybe it's only occurring once a week, let's not beat the heck out of ourselves for a momentary slippage. Leonard Cohen said, "Ring the bells that can still ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in." I think Leonard Cohen is correct in this celestial song when he infers that none of us or any situation in life is perfect, only that we should ring the bells that can still ring or take some accountability for our actions to improve things. The problem is if we look for perfection, we will end up disappointed and perhaps give up on trying to make the necessary changes. My life experiences working with people teaches me that looking for perfection in anything is a near certain recipe for failing to improve what we are working on as we become very discouraged. Kids, better to forget your perfect offering and instead remember the light that the cracks let in. Note, grandchildren and impertinence. Many of us can benefit from looking at change and impermanence from a different view. For instance, while we tend to view impertinence with suspicion and fear, a perfect example of impermanence being a benefit rather than a stressful thing is to consider our own children or grandchildren. While, of course, we love them so much as a 2 or 4 or 6-year-old, without life constantly changing, we would miss out on so much. We could miss watching Evie, Mac, Emily, and Miles grow up to be beautiful and thoughtful teenagers and adults, as well as parents themselves. Children, if we accept the fact that change is inevitable and everything in life is impermanent, we will appreciate what we have in the moment while looking forward to a wonderful future. Note the sacred bonus. If change is so easy, why is it so hard for most of us to do what we need to make life changes? I have pondered this question for years upon years, wondering what the heck is holding me back. Many times in my career, I have watched excellent people who could not or would not attempt to make a few small changes that would materially change their life for the better. These are a few of the reasons that seem to come up an awful lot in our conversations. We are comfortable with what is familiar, even if it is not working for us in many ways. We feel the need for instant gratification, as most of us want to see things change immediately. This is simply not true with making changes in ourselves. I believe the only way to successfully change ourselves is one step and one day at a time. Sometimes we overthink our goals. Let's set our goals and spend more time actually working toward them. Obviously, after a long enough time with no results, it's prudent to rethink our approach. Pride often gets in our way as we think we do not need to change, and it's the world around us that needs to change. I have been fortunate enough to fail on many things along the way, so I've learned to not let pride interfere with the changes I need to make now. Too often I let pride stop me from making serious changes because making them would force me to admit I was on the wrong side of significant issues. Another major roadblock in trying to make lasting change is we often simply give up too soon along the way. Our old self will often fight back against change, actually becoming a discouraging voice in our head. This has happened to me far too many times. If we are committed, we will succeed in whatever we set out to accomplish. Please do not give up too quickly, as anything worth having takes some time. These are some of the reasons that change is difficult for all of us. When we are starting to make a few small changes, let's remember to have a little fun and enjoy the journey. Otherwise, it's a bit painful to be waiting around hoping change will happen quickly. Some can happen immediately, but many take much practice and diligence to reach fruition. Let's remember, change may seem difficult at first, but anything worthwhile is a bit difficult to achieve. I can't say resolutely enough that learning and improving ourselves and our loved ones' lives is a lifelong journey. So let's try to enjoy the ride. If we continue to stay positive, have belief that God is on our side, and stay committed, our lives will change for the better. And what a beautiful, sacred bonus that your children and grandchildren will learn this life lesson from you. Note, leaders change or fade away. Inflexible leaders who are not willing to learn and embrace new concepts do not possess opinions really as strong as they think. Perhaps their opinions actually possess them and hold them back. Leaders that are not open to change inevitably get left behind, often led by their own tunnel vision. Often they cannot see the obvious trends which competitors open to positive change see and thus get overtaken in their markets. Believe me, what worked in our business 5 years ago may not be very useful today, including our management style. George Bernard Shaw said, "Progress is impossible without change, and those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything." Children, please think carefully about this as you progress through your careers. Note, saw myself on TV. Recently, we were watching a TV series where the lead character's role really touched me because he was someone with immense talent, intelligence, and a good work ethic. Unfortunately, alcohol trouble was always brewing close by. It made me think of many days gone by when I used to watch someone in a movie and recognize myself in the role of the drunk person or perhaps the angry person. I always think that's a good opportunity for self-reflection when I can see on the screen how being drunk or angry hurts my loved ones as well as me. After a number of years, I had seen enough of me in the shows or movies to look for change. When we are dealing with any very negative issue and then see it play out on a TV series and pretend it's us doing the same thing, it forces us to at least contemplate some change. On the other hand, let's take ourselves when we are happy, content, and enjoying life. Let's watch a show where the main character is playing that role, and we think we would sure like to have that life. Well, perhaps we can have that life right here, right now, with a bit of work and maybe a new viewpoint. Watching a thought-provoking series can really help us adjust our view. I've often suggested to people I was coaching to try to use this way of seeing our behavior on a big screen with someone else doing what we are doing. It's often very effective. Note, reflections on change. Barack Obama said, "Change will not come if we wait for some other person or if we wait for some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the change we seek." Andy Warhol said, "They always say time changes things, but you actually have to change them yourself." Napoleon Hill said, "Don't wait. The time will never be just right." Erica Jong said, "I have accepted fear as part of life, specifically the fear of change. I've gone ahead despite the pounding in the heart that says, turn back." Taylor Swift said, "This is a new year, a new beginning, and things will change." Charles Darwin said, "It is not the strongest species that survives, nor the most intelligent, but the one most responsive to change." Helen Keller said, "Life is either a daring adventure or nothing. To keep our faces toward change and behave like free spirits in the presence of fate is strength undefeatable." Rumi said, "Yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I'm wise, so I'm changing myself." Lao Tzu might have said it best when he said, "If you do not change direction, you might end up where you are heading." Children, I gathered these quotes for us because they reflect much of what I believe about change. Please consider their wise words above. Note, charting the course of change. "Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" said Alice. "That depends a good deal on where you want to get to," said the cat. "I don't much care where," said Alice. "Then it doesn't matter which way you go," said the cat. "Well, so long as I get somewhere," Alice added. "Oh, you're sure to do that," said the cat, "if you only walk long enough." When contemplating even making some small changes in our lives, We really need to have a pretty good idea of where we want to be. It is difficult to have enough motivation to make changes when we know where we want to go, let alone if we are not sure. As the cat inferred, how can we pick a road to somewhere when we don't know where we're going? To make lasting change, we have to have some idea where we are going. We also can never be 100% certain, but we must have some vision. George Harrison wrote a song with the Alice in Wonderland theme, singing, "If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there." I can tell you with a tinge of regret that any time in my life when I did not have some idea of where I was going, it generally led to negative emotions like jealousy, anger, and regret. Time has also taught me we can't change the course of our lives if we don't first change our minds. Note, later on won't work no more. It was usually easy for me to see what changes needed to occur and understand why I needed to make those changes. Getting the motivation, discipline, and consistency to make those changes was always more difficult. Over the years, I've thought of what ultimately pushed me to make hard changes, and I've come to realize that often certain songs would continue to play in my head, and listening to them repeatedly would be the catalyst to drive me to move forward with some of these necessary, significant changes. It was the late summer of 2006. We had just gone public, and I was riding high from the success of the IPO. But I could already sense dark clouds on the horizon with a number of manufacturers. Stress and pressure were part of the game, and many people in our industry were watching us, with most of them hoping we would fail. Alcohol seemed like a good way to cut the edge a bit, and living on my own did not help either. Tom Petty's Highway Companion was released, and I was sure looking forward to listening to it. After hearing the song Square One a few times blasting in my family room, the line, "Later on won't work no more," literally stopped me in my tracks. I knew big changes in me were necessary to survive and prosper in this new world of running a public company, fighting with my brother on a daily basis, and now being alone after so many years of marriage. Making changes later on was not good enough. Recently divorced and running a new high-profile company was plenty enough to worry about when anxiety already ran through my veins. While running a private company with way less scrutiny, I learned how to fake my way through a lot of situations, and if I was feeling off my game, I could change schedules easier, etc. This new reality was just enough to keep me half sober and sober of mind. However, adding in massive family fights with my twin brother and later my three sisters was more than enough to kill the nice plan of staying half sober of both mind and body. All I really wanted was to have a deep and kind relationship with my kids, be halfway content, have some peace in my life, run a good business, and not need alcohol to try to sleep at night. Unfortunately, the toxic family situation made those plans impossible, or so I believed. Within a year, pressure was mounting everywhere at Auto Canada, as the auto manufacturers and competitive dealers were doing everything they could to not accept us as buyers of their stores, and investors were frustrated. I don't think all the resilience I learned growing up would have been enough to get me through this period of monumental business problems on top of weekly family hassles about that business. Fortunately, that is when I made the decision to stop drinking completely before I totally fell apart. I thank God I received the strength to get myself together in time to avoid a potential collapse on really so many fronts. Just as importantly, I intensified my daily Buddhist studying and working on my inner sense to find some peace and happiness. Later on won't work no more. Help me see the change that needed to happen now, not later. We all need some inspiration to change the course of our lives a bit or a lot. Thank you, Tom, for helping me find mine.